This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Hi, everyone, and welcome. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and this is episode 141 of Vintage Homeschool Moms. Today, we're going to be talking about birdwatching, and I've got lots of show notes for you on vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. I also want you to check out our sponsor. That is mediaangels.com. I have a couple of great books I wanted to point out to you. One of them is Teaching Science and Having Fun. It's actually in its fifth edition and is one of Kathy Duffy's 101 top picks curriculum, as well as the Science Fair book, An Insider's Guide to Successful Science Fair Projects, another great book for you and your children on how to do a science fair project that is worthy of the regional and state science fairs and above. So you'll want to check out that book. Well, today I am going to start a series that is something that inspired me when I started thinking about, you know, what can you do around the home? And as I'm recording this, of course, it is summer, and therefore it gives me ideas of what we can do outdoors. And so you may be in the same predicament, and really no matter what time of the year it is, especially if you do live in a sunny climate like I do, this topic, bird watching, can be done just about any time of the year. You know, there are some startling statistics that over 47 million people in the U.S. are bird watchers, according to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services. And it is amazing because it is something that we started doing years ago, and truly it was by accident. We have a deck off of our eating area, and I remember my husband is a builder, and he would build these different birdhouses, and nothing ever seemed to want to be in his birdhouse, and a lot of times it was because of the type of wood that he was using. So he and the kids did some research, went to the nature center, went to the library, got some books, and learned how to make some birdhouses, which was really a fun family project that would attract birds. And it really allowed us to see the amazing world that God created. It showed so much diversity within the species. So we live in an area that is known as the 6 Mile Cypress Slough, and that means it's wetland. So much of the time in the summer, we have standing water. We also have a large pond. So it wasn't unusual for us to come home from being out. And of course, the property is quiet at that time, and it allows the birds to come in. So we would see blue herons or egrets. Of course, we'd see the ducks. A couple of times we had otters in our pond. We might see a cormorant, which was really cool if we could. And of course, one of my favorite birds, but my children didn't like this bird because it ate our fish in our pond, and that was the anhinga. The anhinga also is known as a bird that dives, and it has a very a sharp beak, so it can spear fish, and then it flips it up in the air and catches it and swallows it. It's also known as a snake bird because it swims with its long, thin neck, often above waters, and it was it has this oily skin, and so it couldn't just immediately take off after it ate a fish. It had to dry, and so often we would see it up in the trees drying its wings, and so this allowed us to really have this great interest in wanting to learn more and more about birds. And so, you know, it was great because we could study the migration paths here. We're going to see a huge influx of birds in the winter months, whereas You know, it's they're coming into Florida, whereas in other parts of the U.S. and Canada, they're leaving, as well as, you know, when they would leave, we would see them, you know, just gathered on the wires in an intersection. And it also was a cheap pastime. So that's why it was so much fun. So we could study the habitat, we could study conservation, we could study anatomy of the birds, and also do so many fun activities, which I'm going to share some of those with you. So let's first of all look at the supplies. What do you need to birdwatch? A good field guide is important. Now with apps, I found a really cool app that you can get on your phone that has, you know, things right there ready for you. But a field guide, a book is something I love. Another thing that we got were pictures of the birds that were laminated, like a little trifold thing. And that was something we would keep. We would keep a backpack of our nature supplies so that when we wanted to do a field trip, we had that ready. And that way the kids could put their stuff in there and we'd have it hung up and ready to go. Also, a great set of binoculars is important. And binoculars have come way down in price. I remember years ago, they were so expensive to get decent ones. And now they are fairly reasonable. A notebook is great. I was at one of my favorite stores recently, and I noticed that they had something that was it is kind of pricey, but it is the most awesome thing, especially if you're a kid. It's a notebook that you can write in that has pages that can actually get wet. And so it came in this huge pack, and I was thinking, gosh, where was that when my kids were little? But these are, they have some kind of coating on it, and the kids can take it outside, and it doesn't matter if they get wet, and they can write in it and take notes and put it in their backpacks. So that's a really great thing. And they don't have to be expensive backpacks. They can be those string kind. My daughter is a great seamstress, my older daughter, and she makes those for the kids at Christmas time. So that's a really kind of cool gift that you could even think about giving as some binoculars, one of those notebooks, and a field guide. Another thing is to look at some activities. What are some things that you can do? Oh, one thing I want to add is you can add a camera to your supply list, because that is really a fun thing to do. I do want to caution you, a lot of times the little kids love to take pictures, and that really interferes with them really being quiet and paying attention to what their surroundings are. So I'm not saying don't take pictures, but don't make that a focus. It is fun to take pictures, and that would be something that mom could probably do, or dad, and that way you could have them and print them out for a notebook if the kids want to do that, or have the kids draw from the pictures that you've taken. Those are just some of the suggestions that I wanted to make. Okay, what about activities? Well, we're going to get to that in just a minute. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and I want to introduce you to my publishing company, Media Angels. I have a heart for homeschool families, and since 1994, I have poured my efforts into creating curriculum to support teaching science, especially from a creationist worldview to the homeschool community. My curriculum was selected by Kathy Duffy in her 101 Top Homeschool Picks. Another labor of love is a three-book novel series specifically for homeschoolers with a creation focus, the Truth Seekers Mystery Series that I co-authored with my daughter Christina. Media Angels represents uncompromising quality, not only with books, but with an online homeschool convention and this ultimate homeschool radio network with amazing show hosts. Along with books, Media Angels has produced an American history and an American government video series, as well as a family Bible study, Homeschooling with Proverbs. It has been my pleasure to mentor countless homeschool families and missionaries worldwide. I also enjoy mentoring aspiring authors with one-on-one coaching and the Information in a Nutshell series. If we haven't met, please reach out. I'd love to help you on your homeschooling journey, or if you have a book, help you getting that into print. I can be found on social media and look forward to meeting you. You can reach me at mediaangels.com. Thanks so much, and hope to meet you soon. Well, hi and welcome back. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and this is an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. You can find the show notes at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, if I can remember that, and look for podcast number 141. And also, I want to really encourage you to subscribe to our e-zine as well as subscribe to the show. That really helps us to be found on iTunes, and not only subscribing, but give us a star rating. I really appreciate that ahead of time, and we've got some really fun things coming up for our subscribers that I'm going to be letting you know in the weeks coming up. All right, so what about activities? One of the things I would recommend is that, and I shared that with you under the supplies, is to get some field guides, some bird charts that are laminated. You can find those at nature stores and museums, and a bird wall chart. One of the things my children did was they memorized all the birds of prey and all of the domestic birds. And they were two different wall charts. So what I did was I took a sheet of paper and I just sat down one day and I just wrote two columns. And actually, I separated it out and did it different ways. So to begin with is I just wrote the names of all the birds and the order that they appeared on the chart. So, you know, the chart has maybe three or four birds at the top, and it's a beautiful scenery of all of these different birds on one huge wall chart. So I just wrote down all the names of the birds, and I did not at that point write down their Latin names or their scientific names. So, and I would go through with a large, a long yardstick, and I would just point to the birds, and just every day we would just spend a few minutes and we would go through all of the different birds, and we would check them off as the kids were able to say it together. And then I started breaking them up into teams. So I printed out that chart, but on each chart, it had one of the children's names at the top. And so they could keep their own scores if they could say the birds of prey. And I sat them back far enough so that they couldn't read the names. So that helped a lot. If you want, you can take, some kind of sticky note or something and put over the names. We were able to move back far enough, so it worked for us. And then the children memorized it. And it was amazing because we would go places and the kids would say, oh, there's an indigo bunting. And I would say, how do you know that? And they would explain. And then later we would look it up and they were right. This is before we had all those apps on our phone. So by memorizing the birds ahead of time, that really helps. So when they see them in nature, they can start identifying them. The same thing with notebooking. They can list the birds that they have seen. They can list the times of the day. They can keep a chart of the number of times they've seen a specific species. I love taking charts into the car, and especially if you're going to the grocery store or you're running on an errand and you've got kids in the car, and I always love it because I'm thinking, oh, we're in the car, but we're doing school. And so as the kids would see anything from, and this is not a bird, but if we live in Florida, so we have a lot of snowbirds that come down, and that's what we call our tourists that come in, down, or people that live here in the wintertime. And so we would see all kinds of license plates from all over the U.S. My kids have even seen license plates from Alaska and Hawaii, which was very, very exciting when you're a little kid and you see something like that. And so, then we had to explain, Alaska, we could explain a little bit more how the car got here than more so than Hawaii, right? And so the kids would keep track of that. Well, the same thing with the birds. We would have a chart, and either they would create one themselves and try to keep it on one sheet of paper and start very simply with birds that they're going to see often. For example, a mockingbird or a blue jay or a robin. And so they could have those there and be able to just tally how many times they saw it every time they were in the car. And that was a fun thing that they enjoyed doing. Also, those charts work well for your backyard or just even sitting inside and looking out the window. Bird feeders are awesome. Make sure that you make a bird feeder that is going to attract birds. Birds do not like you to use smelly paint, even if it makes it look really pretty. The Nature Center has some great information on how to do that, as well as, of course, going online and looking at your area. And I know Florida has some great websites for bird watching with some specific things on species. And so I'm sure every state has the same thing. Where are the best places to see the birds? Well, you can go to the nature preserves, wetlands here. I know if you have that where you live, parks, of course, and most activity is at dawn. I know that, you know, we have taken the time to go to the Nature Center very, very early in the morning when they open. And that has been the times, and we've seen the most, creatures out there. In the middle of the day, you're not going to find it. On our own property, before sunset, we would see owls and bats. In an area about 30 minutes from my house, it's called Cape Coral. There are really cool birds that are called burrowing owls. Now, if you're a kid and a parent who is looking at the birds, it might be a cool thing. But if you have burrowing owls on your property, they are protected. And the same thing with eagle's nests. So here in Florida, that's something you really do not want on your property if you have a property that has not had a home built on it, because you can only build certain times of the year. A friend of ours had an eagle's nest on property they wanted to build on, and they only had a very short span where that house could be built, or you would have had to wait a whole nother year after the mating cycle to be able to do that again. So just little, you know, my husband's a builder, can you tell? So little things there. But it is fun to see those birds, of course. I know we have an eagle cam here in Florida from two of our famous eagles. One of them died, and the mama eagle mated with another eagle. And it was really funny because one of the newscasters was really upset that the eagle had died. And one of the other newscasters said, you know, this is nature. And she said, I know, but I had bonded with this eagle. But we do have some awesome nature conservation places. So if you're ever in Florida, I would highly recommend you go to Sanibel Island. They have a place called Crow, and it's C-R-O-W, and they take in wildlife that has been injured. And so it's a really great place. We had a bird stuck in our fireplace one time, and I don't even remember what kind of bird it was. It was so traumatic to me, I think. And so our cap on our fireplace had not, it had been broken, I guess. These birds had a field day up there. My husband had not noticed. So they had burrowed, made a nest in our fireplace, and some of them are chimney swifts, but I don't remember if this was a swift or not. Anyway, it had gotten injured, or a bigger bird had come in and chased it and gotten stuck, and so they had dismantled a part of it, and I do have a brick fireplace, so I don't remember exactly what they did, but when they got the bird out, it had to be taken to Crow because it was injured. So it is an awesome place to go and even research it online. Also, I have on the website under resources, I have some websites for young bird watchers, an organization for bird clubs, as well as bird life, and also a bird guide app that is highly recommended, that has hours of bird calls, that's what I want to say, and tons of North American bird species and photos. That's really, really cool. And so that is some of the things I wanted to talk to you about today, about bird watching. Of course, you can use a camera. I would use that more sparingly because you want to teach the children to just sit and observe. And that's one of the things I love about bird watching. And also, I'm going to talk about butterfly watching coming up. I have a podcast I'm doing, Butterflies from Birth to Freedom. And it really teaches the children so many character skills as far as, just being able to be quiet and listen. It also teaches them to, you know, cherish what God has created and to, you know, take the time to stop and to watch and to listen, because we do want the kids to stop and listen and pray, right? And it's one of those things that just gets you outdoors, also doesn't cost a lot of money, and really allows us to see the amazing world that God has created. Thanks so much for joining me today, and I pray you have a wonderful time looking up in the sky and watching the birds. Take care, God bless, and I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.